Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark. And I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, wherever you're picking up this program today, even through the World Wide Web, and share with you the living Word of God. However, just before we get into the ministry of the Word, I want to take time off to share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., every Tuesday midday from 12:15 to 1 p.m. and every Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. So if you have been listening to the program, it's a blessing to your life, you'd like to come and fellowship with us, be a part of all that God is doing, do connect with us through one of our services. You can get more information about us by calling 623-1889. 746-0829, or visit us on our webpage at fogwm.org. And we would love to have you come and fellowship with us. Our ministry is designed to teach you God's Word, enabling you to live better with God. Also, we have ministries that we associate with. And I want to encourage you to visit Temple of Grace, which is located in the old Southern Main Road in California, Coover, and their services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. They are Pastor Lewis and his wife. They are looking forward to having you come and fellowship with them on a Sunday morning where the Word of God could minister to you and transform your life. So check out Temple of Grace every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And they are located in California, Coover, on the old Southern Main Road. If you're going south on the old Southern Main Road, you would see the big sign, Temple of Grace. And if you're going north, coming up the old Southern Main Road, you will see the big sign on your right-hand side, Temple of Grace. They look forward to welcoming you as they have an awesome time of service every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we also partner with the Prayer Sanctuary, which is located at Building 159 Eastern Main Road. They are just primarily opposite us, and they have, it's just a time of prayer. It's a ministry that based on prayer that is run by one minister, Marcia Roberts. And we want to encourage you to come and pray. Our nation needs that. We need people to come together to pray. So connect with us. As a matter of fact, every Tuesday, prayer is done from 10:30 to 12, and then the Bible study begins from 12:15 to minutes to 1. So if you are looking for a place to come and be a part of prayer and intercede and so forth for the nation and for your loved ones and, you know, and so forth, then come and visit us every Tuesday morning from 10:30 to 1 o'clock. It's prayer and Bible study. Then the Prayer Sanctuary also, they meet, that's with Minister Marcia Roberts again. They meet every third Saturday from 2:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. for a time of prayer. The third Saturday of every month, it is called Prayer School, and they meet every third Saturday from 2:30 to 6 p.m. and every second and fourth Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. come and experience breakthrough prayer. So you have the time, you want to be a part of an intercessory group, come and be a part. Let the Lord use you in intercession and minister to people through prayer. Amen? So looking forward to have you there. We partner and connect with these ministries, and we are so grateful for all that the Lord has been doing. Amen. Now, we want to continue our study on the subject, the word of wisdom. We are really studying the gifts of the Spirit, which is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 7 into verse 11, but for the sake of time, I don't want to read all of those, but I would say in verse, which one I want to work with, verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." And if you continue reading, it talks about 9 manifestations of the Spirit that is given to through every man to profit with all. And we learn that 3 out of the 9 are called revelation gifts because they reveal things. One is called the word of knowledge, one is called the word of wisdom, and the other is called discerning of spirits. So we are studying what is the word of wisdom. In our last 2 studies, we define what it is not. So what we want to do today is begin to define what is the word of knowledge. So let's begin. Number 1, the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. Now I want you to get this, eh? It is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts. It is not a supernatural revelation of all the facts, but only a portion of the facts. That's why it's called a word of wisdom, because you know, a word makes up a sentence. A word is not a sentence, but a sentence is incomplete without a word. So a word make up a sentence. If you don't have that word there, the sentence is incomplete. So a word of wisdom is not all of God's wisdom. It's God giving you something for a specific purpose. Okay, now it reveals some facts about in the mind of God, and it always relate to persons, places, and things. It always relate to persons, places, and things. Second thing about the word of knowledge is this: it always points to the future and not the past. So whenever God is giving a word of wisdom, it does not primarily deal with the present. It does not primarily deal with things that took place in the past. It always speaks to the future. And that's important for you to understand, because the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is that the word of wisdom points to the future, but the word of knowledge points to the past and the present. The word of knowledge does not predict anything, but the word of wisdom predicts something. Okay? Now, what happens is this. Sometimes we have to sit and allow the word of wisdom, because it is of the future, to bring itself to pass. At times, we have to work together with the word of wisdom. Now, I want you to understand this. The word of wisdom is predictable. It speaks about what is going to happen in the future. Okay? If, for example, I had an experience in my church some months ago. We were dealing with a situation, or someone was dealing with a situation, and you know, the person was, I can't remember this emotional state they were in, or if they were, but there wasn't a situation and so forth. And the interesting thing is, as I left the person present, as I turned to walk away, the Spirit of God gave me a word of wisdom for them relative to what is going on. And I turned to them and said, the person will be leaving the organization. Now, how did I know that? I knew it by revelation. Where did that revelation come from? From the mind of God. Is that the only thing God knew about the person? No, he knew a whole lot about them, but he only chose to let me know that in the future, not too far distant future, they would be leaving. And up to this day, the person has left and have moved on. But the thing is, it was a word of wisdom, and it point to the future. Now, I bring this up because what this means is simply this. We are dealing with this. Sometimes we have to sit and allow the word of wisdom to bring itself to pass. Because it's futuristic, you have to sit and wait and allow it to come to pass. You don't necessarily need to do anything. It has nothing in that word of wisdom that told that person that they needed to do anything. Because what happened with many of us is sometimes a word of wisdom come, and when it come, we don't analyze whether hey, do I have to do something to work with God in bringing this to pass? Or do I just relax and let God do what he has to do? What we do many times, and I've seen this happen as a minister of the gospel, as a believer for since 1985, is a lot of Christians, what they begin to do is sort of fight up with God in reference to what God has said. And let me explain what I mean by fight up with God. They get into, quote, so-called warfare to bring to pass something that God say he is going to do without even telling them that he needed them to do anything. And I know saying something like that, it may be difficult for you in the Christian world to embrace, because we think that if God says something about the future, we are responsible for bringing it to pass. No, you're not responsible for bringing it to pass. If the Lord, in giving a word of wisdom, gave you some instructions to go with it, then you have to do something. But if he didn't, you have nothing. All you need to do is rest in God and allow God to bring it to pass with his timing and all sorts of things. So sometimes we have to sit and allow the word of wisdom to bring itself to pass. However, sometimes we have to work together with the word of wisdom. So if God gives you a word of wisdom, and in giving you the word of wisdom, he tells you you need to do X, Y, Z, it means that you need to do something. You follow where I'm coming from? You need to do something. Case in point, I remember years ago, the Spirit of God gave me a word of wisdom through a prophet, and it was about me acquiring our home for me and my wife. And I remember after I heard the word of wisdom, I believed it, I received it. I went to the Lord in prayer, and one of my things was, Lord, okay, you promised me you're going to give me a home. It's a word of wisdom, it's in the future. What do I do? Do I operate from the perspective of a mortgage? Do I get this debt free? You talk to me so I will know how to prepare myself to work with you. You get me? And the more I talked to him, heaven was silent. He never said anything. And because heaven was silent, I said the natural thing to do in where wisdom is concerned is begin to save for my down payment and so forth and thing, because he never told me anything that it was going to be debt free. Are you understanding me? All he said is that I have blessed you with a home in a new area. Geographical area, it's a new home, so that's all he said. And I had to stand in faith for 13 years before that thing come to pass. But you know what I did in that 13 years? I saved money for legal fees, I saved money for down payment and so forth, because he never told me it was going to be debt free. I can use the next illustration. I was in a prayer meeting at the time, and the Spirit of God used someone to minister to me prophetically, and it was a word of wisdom. And in the word of wisdom, he talked about me having a car, and I did the same thing. God, is this car coming debt free? You see, I need to know. Or are you gonna, or do I have to go through a mortgage type situation? Again, heaven was silent. One, heaven is silent. Me personally, prudent thing to do is to plan for it. So I began to save and that kind of stuff, and it was not a blessing that I didn't have to pay for. I had to pay for it. But then I have seen others who have gotten a word of wisdom, and God told them, listen, I'm not just blessing you with this, I'm doing it debt free. And they didn't have to put out a cent. They didn't have to believe God for money to come in for nothing. It happened. So you have to pay attention to the word of wisdom that God gives to you, and see what part do you play in bringing it to pass? If God didn't give you specific instructions about things you need to do, reference to his word of wisdom, it is something that you need to do something with, then you have to sit down and, you know, put some things together and plan. But if he told you that he's going to do this independent of you, fine. You just have to rest and allow it to come to pass. So that is the problem we have sometimes. It's how we deal with this word of wisdom. Now, let me just say something about the office of the prophet in reference to these revelation gifts. I think I said it on a program before, but I want to repeat it. When you say you are a New Testament prophet and you stand in the office of a New Testament prophet, one, two, or three of these revelation gifts must function in your life. Now, when it comes to the office of the prophet, you have the opportunity to prophesy through the word of wisdom, which means you are predicting things, or you have the opportunity to prophesy through the word of knowledge, which is also a revelation. I don't want to call it a prediction because it's not predicting anything. A revelation of what is happening in the person's life presently and what has happened in the person's life in the past. And sometimes you have a commingling of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom working together. You do have a commingling of them. And when that happens, you can minister both by revelation as to what is taking place now and both by prediction as to what is going to take place. But if none of these functions in your life and you call yourself a prophet, you may have to take a second look at that so-called office that you want to stand in. I'm not saying you're not there, and I'm not saying that God didn't call you to it, but if God has called you to it and you are there, then these gifts should operate in your life. You need to talk to the Lord about these gifts of the Spirit manifesting itself in and through you to confirm the office of a prophet. You getting where I'm coming from? Because many times we assume. You see, what happened, I don't want to talk much about the office of the prophet, but what happened is this. I don't stand in the office of a prophet. I don't. And but gifts of the Spirit do manifest. I stand in the office of a teacher. I stand in the office of a pastor. Actually, I stand in the office of a pastor and the office of a teacher. Okay? As a Bible teacher, I'm not just a teacher to my local church. I'm a teacher to the body of Christ. Hence, God put me on radio and is doing a whole lot of stuff because we will go on TV and all of that. I'm a teacher to the body of Christ. My assignment is to teach God's word, enabling his people to live better with him. That's it. Good. So I'm fulfilling that. But I'm saying all of that because sometimes people get confused as to what is going on with in reference to God working. I don't know how I get on that, but a feeling stirred to go there. They get confused in reference to God working with them and moving through them. What we don't understand is that these gifts of the Spirit need to work with the office gifts. So even though I'm a pastor, I have asked God for revelation gifts of His Spirit to flow in me and flow through me so that I can help His people through shepherding. Because remember, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and as the chief shepherd, I am the under shepherd. Well, the chief shepherd know everything about the sheep. Why can't the under shepherd know some stuff to help them? You understand me? So I do ask the Holy Spirit to manifest in my ministry the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, manifest in my ministry tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we do see those things quite frequently, and that is to help me do pastoral work. See, it's not just being called to an office without equipment to help you fulfill that office. No. I didn't want to go here, but let me see if I can go here. What verse I'm looking for? 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 28. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. It says, "And God has set some in the church: first apostles, secondarily prophet, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues." Now, pay attention to verse 28. I'm so off my lesson, but let me flow here. This is to help somebody. It says, "And God has set some in the church." Notice, you didn't set yourself. So if you think you are an apostle, if you think you're a prophet, if you think you're a teacher, if you think you're a pastor, if you think you're an evangelist, you cannot set yourself. Let God set you. You don't set yourself. God is the one who does that. He established you and placed you in the body. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 12, and one of my favorite scripture verses, verse 18, it says, "But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." So it means that if you are in the body as a pastor, God has set you that way, and he set you that way because it pleased him. If he set you in the body as a teacher, he set you that way because it pleased him. I mean, many of you have heard me said over and over and over, I didn't want to be a Bible teacher. And I have one main reason for it. I came through the Pentecostal assembly Poway, and I watch everybody were preachers. There were no pure Bible teacher. Even those who say they were teachers were trying to preach, and I felt, if I come here taking my time communicating, shoot, I would be boring, because in that denomination, there is Sunday school, and people teach Sunday school, and they call it teaching, and some of them are rather boring, and I did not want to be like that. So I resisted this assignment because I didn't want to be like that. I remember when I made up my mind, I told the Lord, listen, if I'm going to do this, you have to give me a special anointing to do this. You have to put a gift in me, something in me that I will not be boring like those other people. And I still do find that time, I feel this thing boring people. But that could be my feeling, but I was very serious about it. But he never changed his mind. God has set some in the church. Thirdly, teachers. He never changed his mind. That was the assignment, and I had to get with the program. So eventually, I submit my will to his plan and purpose, and I begin to stand and operate in the office of a teacher. So let God establish you. If you think you're a prophet or you want to be a prophet, let God be the one to establish you. Sometimes, and I want to be guarded with this, because I've seen ministers use this statement to put other people in bondage. Sometimes that establishment, God setting you, sometimes that setting may be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It does not have to, but many times it is like that. God will confirm, and the confirmation is an outward sign of an inward grace that has already taken place. The confirmation should not be a now revelation about what God is calling you to do. The confirmation should be a revelation that should be a confirmation of a revelation you have already had. God had already spoken to you about his assignment, and the person who doesn't know anything about you begin to speak some things into your life is a confirmation. Is like, for example, I know of a couple who were thinking about resigning a particular church and moving on, and they had made up in their mind that they should, but they were, you know, a little reserved on the inside. Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? And they went to a conference, and in the conference, a speaker who don't know them called them out, said, stand up, and began to minister to them. And then the prophetic began to flow and said, listen, the Lord says, no, you're thinking of resigning. The Lord said, no, it's not time yet. So, and was able to. That's a confirmation. That wasn't a revelation. You're getting me? The revelation was already in them. They knew it by the internal witness, by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, where it says, but that the children of God bear, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with us who are sons of God. It says that in Romans 8. So they knew on the inside the assignment, but that was a confirmation of what they already know. I'm saying all that to say this. Whatever office God has called you to, you will know it on the inside, and God will, may, he doesn't have to, use a next minister to confirm. Now, what I have seen people do is use the example that is found in Acts chapter 13, between Paul and Barnabas, and how the elders of the church confirmed so about what was to take place. So let me just read it and clear some things up. I'm supposed to be on the word of wisdom. I don't know where I got off on this, but all right, let's go. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So the office of the prophet, the office of the teacher, both were in that local church. You notice it didn't mention pastor, apostle, nothing. All they said, certain prophets and teachers. Then it says, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucicus of Cyrene, and Mananene, I hope I pronounced that right, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, so these men, in addition to the prophet and teachers, were in this particular place in Antioch, right? Verse 2, it says, as they, all the men, the prophet and the teachers, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. Now watch this. For the work thereunto I have called, past tense, them. So apparently Barnabas and Saul, who were in this place of Antioch with the prophets and teachers and all these different ministers of the gospel who were present, everybody was praying and fasting and ministering to the Lord. And while that was going on, the Holy Spirit began to speak through either the teacher or the prophet in reference to Barnabas and Saul. At that time, his name was Saul. And here's what he said, separate them unto the work that I have called, not going to call, but have called, which means Barnabas and Saul knew by revelation in their spirit that they were called to something, and these men confirmed that they were called. But notice, the confirmation was not a revelation of their calling. They knew, it said past tense, whom I have called them. And when they had, verse 3, prayed and fasted, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So my point here is this, that you should know on the inside. And I've seen ministers use this as a yardstick over younger ministers and over other ministers for selfish reasons, would not release them because they, you know, no, you need to stay here when God speak to me and give me that. Listen, anything coming from your minister, I'll get in trouble, but so what? I don't care. Anything coming from your minister to you in reference to God's plan and purpose, you need to know first before you step out. Now, if you're working with a ministry and you have submitted yourself to that ministry and you're like an assistant to the ministry, and the minister is praying and asking God to who to send to start a new work in this area and so forth, and he come to you and he say, listen, I need you to step out to go start. You don't need no, it's not your, you're not starting no new ministry. You're continuing the ministry you have been working with is now doing a branch work. That is something totally different. I hope you're all understanding me, but this is going so good, but I have to stop again. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. Connect with us. We would like to hear from you. If you have need for prayer for salvation, agreement with prayer on something you believe in God for, healing, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone will be there to connect with you in prayer. We want you to connect with us. We want you to visit us. So check us out on our webpage, fogwm.org. Then if you're looking for a home church tomorrow morning, check, and you're in the Coover area, check out Temple of Grace, pastored by Pastor Lewis and his wife. They are located in California, Coover. The service is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And come and have a good time with them. And also, you can check out Focus on God's Word Ministry tomorrow morning, starting 9 to 11 a.m. and get some awesome teaching from God's Word that will enable you to live better with God. So stay tuned next week as we continue this awesome study. Stay blessed, stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.